This is a previously recorded episode.
Welcome to M Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Now, your hosts, Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan.
Think. Is that a yes? Well, luckily Foster's going to be editing this, right? So
we'll fix it in post.
Hey, Foster, just ignore this part. Hey, it's Mike Brennan.
And it's Matt Rausch, and you're listening to the M Squared TechCast, part of the PodcastDetroit.com network. And we are here live.
Yes.
As live as it gets.
Yes.
At the Michigan Cyber Summit. Well, actually, it's the North American International
Summit now.
Yes. It's got a much more ambitious name. And it's a terrific event talking about cybersecurity. And we have the state's pretty much number one guy in that regard.
CIO.
That's right.
We call him Mr. CIO, in fact. Okay. So, David Behan.
But it's David Behan, and we knew him back when he was running IT for Washtenaw County. Yeah. He has come a long way since then. So has the state of Michigan in terms of its cybersecurity. It's kind of a national leader in that regard. David, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me. I look forward to this conversation.
Okay.
Well, speaking of Michigan, I was here all day where my partner was taking a day off. So I listened to everyone praising Michigan all day long. So are we really that far ahead of everybody else?
No, I mean, you know, let me say it this way. Michigan's doing a really good job. The ecosystem that the governor's put in place, the partnerships that we have, not only with the federal government, but the state and the other states and local governments and our private partners, our critical infrastructure partners, our education partners, you know, I think Michigan does a really good job in that. And so we have a lot of great people working on this with the National Guard and the Michigan State Police. You know, I can go on and on about our partners. So in that aspect, I think Michigan does lead the way. I think other states are doing a good job, though. There's a lot of other states are catching up and doing some really good work. You know, Virginia, Missouri, Ohio. They're really doing good stuff, too. And Indiana was here today, and they're doing good stuff. But I do think Michigan has a unique unique leadership model. You know, Governor Snyder really is passionate about this and really knows what he's talking about. And then, you know, General Vadney from the National Guard, Colonel Lecce from the State Police.
Yeah, you had a lot of brass here today.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Lots of generals were here.
Lots of generals. General Lingell, you know, was the head of the National Guard Bureau and on the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Michigan is doing well. And we got a lot of great partners, and that's why we're doing so good.
Okay, so what is it that you think sets Michigan apart in terms of what it's doing for cybersecurity?
Again, I'm going to go back to the partnerships. I mean, I think the way we've set up our partnerships and our cyber ecosystem is you know, probably the model for the nation. And, you know, aside from the partnerships and the great work that everyone's doing together, you know, we have the Michigan Cyber Range, which is unique in the country. We have the Michigan Cyber Disruption Strategy, which is held up as the national model. We have the Michigan Cyber Civilian Corps, which is kind of unique. I think other states will start to join that, but we look at that as really part of the future of the cyber strategy as we face the bad guys, right? So there's a lot of those things in place. And really, the governor's been focused on this since 2011. I mean, a lot of people weren't talking about cyber in 2011. Governor Snyder was.
Yeah. And, well, and, you know, you share the credit with the governor. I know the governor's, I've known the governor for a long time. He's like the head geek. He really is. And you were saying that over the weekend or something, he came up with the state cyber strategy, handed it off to you and said, here you go, or something like that, right?
Yeah, in 2011. I just started in my role, and he called me in, and I remember thinking, geez. Only a couple of weeks on the job, and I think I've lost it already. But he said, I had a little time over the weekend, handed me a piece of paper, and he said, I think this would be a good outline for our cyber strategy. And lo and behold, it was an excellent strategy, and we put it all together. And, you know, it's good when it's always nice when a great plan comes together, mm-hmm. and we've been able to do that. Again, you don't do this stuff without partners, though.
Right.
Federal, state, local, private, public, academia, they're all our partners.
Yeah, you certainly had them all here today, Eddie.
Yeah.
Merritt was here.
Oh, yeah.
We'll be talking about that later in the show. They had that red team, blue team competition for the high school kids. Now, they won trophies? Is that what
they did?
Won? Yeah,
they won. There was three. They had 282 kids participated in the entire high school challenge.
Mm-hmm.
29 schools. And then we brought the top 10 schools here today. And then the final three were given trophies and pictures with the governor.
So who were the winners today?
The winners were, and I knew you were going to ask me that, Matt. Clinton won. Clinton High School won. Airport High School, I think, finished second or third.
And airports where?
Carlton, yep.
Okay.
Just south of Metro Airport, hence the name.
Okay, and, well, it does make sense, yeah. Yes.
And who was the third one?
Up north, was it Traverse City?
Oh, Cadillac.
Cadillac, yeah.
Yeah. Cadillac finished third, airport second, and Clinton won it.
Oh, that's cool. I mean, that's a good sort of hodgepodge of you've got a, you know, sort of suburban district, a rural district, and a, you know, in a northern Michigan, out in the middle of nowhere district. That's pretty cool.
And I'll make a prediction now. That challenge next year will be their triple the amount of people we had this year. I'll make that prediction.
Well, they
right
got
now.
A picture with the governor, shook his hand. How many kids can say that, right?
Right, right. Well, and we're going to really ramp it up for next year.
Yep. So you've got, I mean, the assets that the state has to protect is information. You've got a lot of information about a lot of different people, right? So you know, what is it that, I'm just curious, what keeps David being up at night? I mean, you've got a lot of things to protect, right? I mean, that's...
Yeah, you know, we get attacked about 2.5 million times a day.
Sure.
We block that many attacks, and... You know, if you think it's big, so that alone,
there's way too many people with way too much time on their hands.
There is, but I would say that what we see is, you know, what keeps me up at night is there's just so many ways now of having an incident, right? Yeah. And all good people doing good things, you know, in state government, but it only takes one click on a link. It only takes, you know, opening up the wrong website. Those kind of, you know. But, you know, to be honest with you, I sleep pretty good at night because we have a good team. We have a great team. We have great leadership. We have great technology. And there's a lot of passionate people doing the right things.
Well, and a lot of this isn't necessarily keeping track of the bad guys. It's keeping track of your own people, right?
Yeah.
And what they're doing, getting them trained up.
Yeah. And we do. We have some great training at the state. You know, every other month, every state employee is required to do about a 15-minute online sticky training. Which is a lot of fun. Actually, it gives you a lot of great statistics and a lot of great tidbits to talk around at cocktail parties, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's fun, I think.
All right, like what? I gotta know.
So all right, so where do you think the most common place at the airport people leave their smart devices, be it a smartphone or a tablet of some sort?
It's
gotta
be
a
stall, right? The stall.
Let's go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Nope.
I think it's in those lounges. I'll
give you a couple more guesses.
In the lounges, right?
Nope, not in the lounges.
Bar. Really.
Not the bar. No. My first guess.
That's where Dave leaves his, in the bar.
No, actually, you know what it is? It's that transportation mechanism. Wherever you you know, either, you know, the shuttle between terminals.
Oh, between, like, the parking lot
right there.
Because you're always, oh, yeah, what flight am I on? Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, put it down, and then that stops. You got to get off. You leave it. And you'll be amazed at the amount that are unclaimed.
Really?
So, yeah, I mean, those are things that, so those things kind of worry me a little bit, but. Again, we got, you know, a great team in place that's monitoring that stuff.
So what's next? You have at least, well, I assume at least two more years with the administration here. What would you like to do next that you're not doing?
In the cyber world?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I mean, for the state.
So,
I know you want to go for a run here, but beyond that, right. You know. So.
No, so what I think, you know, the governor announced today about our collaboration with the Michigan Cyber Range and Merritt and Northern Michigan University, Wayne State, and Central on kind of educate, you know, how they're bringing together their classroom resources and really going to collaborate on educating and developing cyber talent. I think you're going to see a bunch of other universities join that soon. Mm-hmm. And so that'll be a statewide education system, and that's going to be really exciting. I think you're going to see that really expand. I think you're going to see the state get into more looking at cyber analytics, cyber data, and kind of taking us from where we are and jumping us up another level.
Now, I know in your earlier interview with the illustrious Dave Phillips on IT and the D, I had a bell, I'd ring it, but yeah. I don't.
IT and the D, there you go. Yeah,
he's sitting next to us. He's the engineer instead of Jessica today. Jessica's a little prettier than he is. But so you were saying... A little, yes.
Yeah, right.
I lost my train of thought. I pulled a Trump there, so... what was I going to say?
Something I said at the IT and the D interview.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
You were going to do some... What? Gosh, you know, I'm... Foster, you're going to have to edit this here. I'm suddenly drawing a complete blank.
Are you talking about what you're going to do next?
I don't think I'm...
All right, we'll just move right along here. Foster, edit this out.
Yeah, we just sat here and laughed for 20 minutes. There's no real substance there. That's okay.
God. What was I listening to? I know it was something, but I just totally lost it.
You know, it's interesting what you said about institutions of higher education, because let's bring our non-existent bell again.
Yes.
You know, I'm working
Thank
at Lawrence Tech now.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's one of our fastest growing areas, you know, and people are, you know, people are really into this now because they see the opportunity, you know, they really do. And you know, anyone who wants a job can have 10, you know, in cybersecurity.
So. Well, yeah, I mean, it's really the only field where it's still, the unemployment's negative.
Yes.
More jobs than people, right? And, you know, some of the data will suggest by 2024 you're going to have I think it's a 20% increase in the industry. So it's not like it's going to go away, right? I think it's going to evolve. I think, you know, the defenses are going to get better. The offensive is going to get better. But I think it's going to be a challenging, exciting career for folks who want to get into it for many years.
Well, certainly it's very lucrative. I mean, since, you know, economics and scarcity and all that stuff from Economics 101, there's a lot of demand and very few folks to fill those jobs. So kids come out of school making $90,000 a year. I mean, I never even got close to that, right? So
yeah, I mean, it's crazy, right? And
yeah.
There's a lot of jobs. And I think Michigan and, you know, like communities like Detroit, Grand Rapids, Traverse City, you know, Sandusky, you know, right. Pawpaw, you name it, Kalamazoo. There's a lot of great opportunity in all those areas, you know. And the nice thing about being a cybersecurity professional, IT professional, is you don't need to live where you work sometimes. And,
yeah.
And so I think there's a lot of opportunity.
Okay.
All right.
How are we doing on time, Jessica?
Good.
Okay. Well, final thoughts. So we're going to do this again next year. Do you have a date yet?
No, we'll be announcing that date shortly. We're still looking at some dates.
And what was attendance here today? I mean, I know it was a record.
Registered attendance, I think, was at 722, and that didn't count the walk-ins, so I won't know till later. But it was packed house.
Close to 1,000.
It was packed.
Yeah.
Again, I want to thank you guys for your coverage, because you know you guys get the message out as well, and not only about what we're doing at the state, but what our partners are doing, what the federal government's doing, and the great things that are going on. It's an interesting and challenging time, but it's time that's...
in the Chinese first sense of the
word. Right,
yeah,
right.
But I'll tell you, interesting times. Yeah.
It's a lot of fun, too.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
All right.
Take us out.
All right. Well, thank you very much, David Behan, the CIO of the state of Michigan. For right now, this is Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you're listening to the M Squared TechCast.
Welcome to M Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Now, your hosts, Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan. We'll be right back. to M Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Now, your hosts, Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan.
It's Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you are listening. You listen to that. I'm
yodeling. Ooh, I like the
yodeling. You're listening to the M Squared TechCast, and we are part of the Podcast Detroit.com network.
And we're in a special place today. Although Matt's always in a special place, you know, he has a little nip under his desk, you know. Yeah. But other than that, we're at the Cyber Internet.
Just like any good former journalist.
Yes.
You know, you got to have that, you know, rye whiskey in the bottom of
right.
The drawer just that nobody talks
quietly
about.
Quietly do that, yes. So, North American International Cyber Summit at COBOL, where, as we look outside of the Detroit River and realize.
Beautiful 85
degrees. 85 degrees, and we're inside. Yeah. What's up with that? Yeah. But we have a great guest with us today, Linda Marshall, who has. Gosh, she's done it all. I mean, she's the former president of OnStar, the GM wireless network. Gosh, you're one of the pioneers in that. That would have been OnStar.
No, I came in. I wasn't the pioneer. I came in towards the end of it, or, you know, in 2000.
Right, but that started like 15
years
or so
ago. 15,
years ago, didn't
ago.
It? As well
the original
as,
connected car.
Yes, right? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. A little blue button, if I recall, right?
Yep.
Okay. Then you also were the president of both Verizon, Ohio, and Michigan.
That
must have been interesting because we only refer to that as the state down south. So
I understand the game's coming up soon.
Yes, another month or so. We're looking forward to that. But we digress. And then you've done other things. Why don't you go ahead and tell the audience what else you have done?
Well, I started at Verizon when it was actually Cellular One, which is back in 1985. That's where I was a pioneer. And before that, I was in long distance in Chicago and took Verizon all the way through what it is to be Verizon now, but I ended up managing at the very end. Started in finance, but I ended up managing all the service aspects of the mobile phone systems for both Michigan and Ohio. And then after that, I spent another 12 years starting up the first digital system in Michigan, which was for Nextel Communications, which was the Direct Connect, which was replacing the two-way radio. Mm. So significant experience in public safety and what I would call more B2B users. I ran a fifth of the United States for Nextel for quite some time, and then I moved into public safety up at the corporate office and strategy in D.C. And then that was later purchased by Sprint, so we had to change the technology.
Mm. Wow.
And then after that, I did consulting for startup systems around the country. One of them was Great Call. I have an interest, a special interest in helping people. And so that was to help elderly people use phones and get medical situations solved. And then did some turnarounds down in Cleveland for the underserved markets. And then came back and was hired by my ex-boss then, which was Dan Ackerson, who was the CEO of General Motors, to come in and work with OnStar after the bankruptcy.
Okay.
And in your spare time, what do you do?
So you're a number cruncher who migrated to technology, so you understand both. That's kind of a unique skill set.
You know, I migrated to the customer. Yeah. I had a great boss early on in the days that said I did all the mergers and acquisitions and managed all the professional people and wanted me to go manage a call center. And that was not an easy transition, but I decided after that I wanted to be part of the team that made it happen on the front end instead of just counting it on the back end.
Hmm. Okay.
And now you're with one of, I think, Michigan's cooler but somewhat lesser known tech companies right now, ITC Holding and Novi. You folks own the power grid in a significant chunk of the country, right?
Actually, I'm a guest of ITC here. Serve on the board. We do some work in nonprofit together, that's another consulting that I've done, which is working in the state of Michigan to merge a nonprofit. So we had to work with security there.
Okay, cool.
And I'm a guest, and they're on the board of Judson Center and ChildSafe.
So your focus now is on automobility and obviously the big security holes in that area, right?
Actually, my focus here today is I really wanted to spend time with Governor Snyder here, and I was here last year, to learn about what's coming up in the government applications. My probably the love of my life is public safety, the first responders, and I volunteered my time in 2014 when Mayor Duggan came in to lead one of the lean teams. So I came to listen to Beth speak today, and I had the pleasure of working in the city for the summer of 2014 just to learn about what is government about, what do they need to have for security. You know, you think about the 911 calls that come in every day and what people have to answer, what has to go around that from technology. I just took my experience from all of the mobile community and then also my experience with OnStar to lend a hand in Detroit.
Okay.
And now I'm here to work, working on probably some of the state stuff too.
All right. So what are the security issues with the government, with mobility, with what are the things that you're trying to address or you think that need to be addressed?
Well, you know, if you think about it, in the early days of 85, we only had voice on the phone.
Right.
And I'm still a voice user. And then we went to texting or data, packet data. But today, the phone is your computer. The smartphone is probably, I think it's 85% people have a smartphone, and 114 million people or billion people have two phones.
Mm-hmm.
And so everything you carry is in that phone. It's got apps on it. It's got all your passwords, your email addresses, everything. So most likely today, it's different today than it was before, because before we were worried about voice, maybe privacy issues. You know, people might hack a phone to make calls on someone's phone. But today, if you're hacking a phone, you're really hacking a system.
Right.
And so you're looking at the big systems like Verizon, AT&T, Sprint, their systems are protected mm-hmm. from a security standpoint, because someone's really not going to go after your phone unless they just want your passwords or if you have your payments on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And so you've got security issues there that you need to protect. And then you also are with companies, and I've worked with them for many years, that have very strong cybersecurity safety rules and large mainframe systems that protect it. When you think about it, we're not just servicing consumers anymore. You're servicing education, police, fire, and the main thing right now is medical.
Mm-hmm.
And all of those records have to be protected. HIPAA laws, everything. So their systems are very secure, both what I would call in the cell sites on the ground and in the Wi-Fi systems they're promoting, but also all the systems that hold all the information, calculate rates, and make the systems able to work.
So
large infrastructure.
Sounds like a lot of things to get fixed, right?
A lot of things. Well, actually, it is fixed. I mean, we've put in over the years, we are 911 compliant, and that means that every cell site, if you're on a phone and you have to make a 911 call on your phone, even if it's turned off, it will work.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll know right where you're at by the cell site. So that's how much work has gone into the networks.
Yeah, it used to be.
It's been a lot of years.
It used to be, it's a wireless caller. I have no idea where they're at, right?
So,
somewhere out there. You know, so.
Sometimes people don't, their kids don't want the parents to know where they're at.
Well, yeah.
So tell me a little bit about your thoughts on the security in the connected car. You know, let's talk about what you see as the risks and the benefits there of you know, things like automatic braking systems, the sort of semi-autonomous stuff. Is that a risk at all? You know, of hackable, that kind of thing, or is it? Are they working on that? I know there was a very well publicized takeover of a Chrysler vehicle last year. You know. So.
And I've had the pleasure of working in automotive from wireless in the beginning in mobile.
Mm-hmm.
And then my tenure at OnStar was up until 2012, the end of 12. But up until that time, I'd always been an OnStar user, General Motors cars. And so I was very familiar with the system. When you think about where it started 16 or plus years ago, it was for safety and security.
Sure.
And the
it was an emergency contact. You always had an emergency contact in the car.
And so think about
crash activation. If you have a crash, it would go off, you know.
Or medical treatment in the cars. I've seen people save people's lives. And also working with first responders and stolen cars. Location, slowing them down, things like that. So if you think about the mobile industry, and I went through it pretty fast, it's been a lot of years of growth, but a lot of infrastructure put into it so that it can't be hacked. Well, right now, and in most cases, the cars are running off those networks too.
Mm-hmm.
So every manufacturer, anything, any supplier into that has to be compliant from a cybersecurity. And General Motors, I mean, has put a number of initiatives in to both between engineering and IT and a separate cyber group to make sure that things are compliant. And so you have the brakes, and you have the connectivity, and now you have infotainment, so you're taking that into the car too. And so they last year I recognized that they hired a number of hackers to break into the system. And
they got religion. They had a big conference in July, I believe, where Mary Barra came out from GM, featured speaker, and said, "We get it now. We understand this is an issue, and we're on top of it." I hadn't heard that before from GM. So,
and I think they had I've been gone since then, but they had a mobile app problem, which is one of the applications that's on the phone. I think there was some glitch in the way you turn the car on.
Right.
But Mary's got, significant experience in both engineering and running a great company.
Right.
I think the world of her, and she's going to make sure that we're compliant. Or General Motors is compliant with all the regulation that's coming anyways, when you get into not just the connected car, but the autonomous car.
All right, I think we're going to have to leave it at that. We're running out of time in this segment. We've had a wonderful conversation here.
Yes, thanks very much to Linda Marshall.
Thank you. It's a great conference.
Who is a great security consultant. And thanks very much for your time. We do appreciate it.
Thank you.
And this is Mike Brennan.
And it's Matt Roush, and you're listening to the M Squared TechCast. Next segment coming right up.
Welcome to M Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Now, your hosts, Matt Roush and Mike Brennan. Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Now, your hosts, Matt Roush and Mike Brennan.
It's Mike Brennan.
And it's Matt Roush.
And we're at the, we're going to get it right this time,
North American International
Cyber Summit. Yes,
because
stereo.
Formerly the Michigan yes, Cyber Summit. And we're sitting here in a beautiful atrium at the revamped Cobo Center.
Yes,
looking
very
out
nice.
At the Detroit River and Canada to the south of us here.
We love our Canadian cousins.
Yes, indeed. We
can see them from here, So, but we can also see we have Kasdan Thomas on board with us here in this third segment. You can tell it's been a long day and we're getting a little loopy here or something. He's from Interworks, and fill us in on that. I know Dave, who's filling in for Jessica today, he's had you on his show many times on IT and the D, the most popular tech programming on SoundCloud in the world.
What's the most listened to this week? Most popular might be debatable.
Yeah.
So tell us all about what you do with the company. I know it's mobile security, right?
Well, we've advanced beyond mobile security, and we have repurposed ourselves over the last 2 years. So if you look at our website, we're revamping it right now to better describe what we're doing. And we are going out and looking at where the venture capital is going, where the more advanced technologies are emerging specific to information security. Mm-hmm. And for our niche, it's mobile, network, and endpoint security.
Oh,
because we're finding that it's not just anytime, anywhere.
that mobility brings us, but any device as well. And so you build your security policies, you build your technical infrastructure and your expertise around anything, because anything's possible. And where we look today, 6 months from now, the one thing that we know is it's going to be different.
That's for sure. How different? What are you looking at now? What do you see coming down the pike?
You know, Internet of Things is certainly at the foremost of people's attention. We're finally, as an industry, starting to understand what that means, because for an automotive company, it's different than it would be for a consumer, or it's different than what it would be for a nuclear power plant.
Well, yeah, so we actually just wound up buying a new fridge. I had chaos in the kitchen, wound up buying a new fridge. The sales guy desperately wanted me to buy the internet-connected refrigerator.
With the computer on the front of it. Right?
Exactly.
$3,000
well,
or something.
And
right?
Don't get me wrong, like, I'm a geek. I don't want or need to be able to tweet my fridge and say, hey, do I have eggs? And have it be able to respond. Actually, if it could, then yes, you need eggs. Well, that would be great. But as far as like I don't need to check the temperature of my fridge from my phone. Just
I would
just
hope
yet.
Not.
No, like then we're also
can,
looking
can
at
can it sniff if something's turning in there.
That milk smells a little rancid this morning.
That stuff in the container, the back of the bottle.
That's right. You need eggs.
You haven't changed that in months.
Yeah, you need eggs. You trust me, this milk is bad. Yeah. And by the way, clean that Tupperware out of drawer 3. Yeah, that'd be phenomenal.
So the refrigerator's becoming your wife.
That's all I need.
Only this one's cold.
Oh, you better leave that one alone. Moving right along. Moving right along. Okay.
You're supposed to disagree with that.
Yeah.
No, it's only the refrigerator is cold.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, that's I've been saying for years, the Internet of Things is the Internet of Things that can be hacked.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of this stuff is built in either with very little security protection or with, you know, there's even some things out there with usernames and passwords that can't be changed, that kind of thing. Are you seeing all that changing and, you know, people getting more sophisticated?
No, absolutely not, because these are low-cost devices, and it's how fast can you bring it to market.
Yeah.
And the consumers are not demanding it because we haven't had that sentinel
big
event
yeah.
that makes people go, oh, no, that could be me.
So the defaults are 1, 2, 3, 4 or something, right?
Yeah, and version 2.0 is 5.
Yeah. I mean, they get into your whole home network and all of the information in your house through your thermostat or your refrigerator or something.
Or your garage door opener.
That's how they got into Target was through a vending machine,
point of sale
it?
System, yeah.
HVAC or something.
Well,
yeah.
So, you know, Bob was always, you know, he always said, oh, you know, if they want to watch me sitting on my couch eating Cheetos and screaming at the, you know, kids, more power to them. And it was all fun and games until one of my warnings came true, where, so, you know, he was very excited when he got his Nest thermostat. And I was like, dude, you're punching an open hole in your firewall. And he was like, oh, you're being an idiot. And, well, then all the stories came out like 3 months ago where hackers were now taking over people's Nest thermostats and jacking them up to, like, 99.
My favorite Mr. Robot scene. Yes.
Yeah, you know, and
is the nightmare in the connected home.
Yeah, absolutely. And, if, you know, and hey, if you want control of your thermostat again, yeah. here's where to send the Bitcoins.
Yeah. Yank yep. it out of the wall, right?
Right.
We know it's, it, you know, I was with a older relative recently who said, you know, nobody wants my stuff. So I'm not worried about my email password. And I said, yeah, but
famous
what they might want is your
words.
Kids' emails, because if they can get to yours, then you send them something that they open.
Yep.
And so it's this interconnected world that becomes
because if Grandpa sends me an attachment, it must be fine.
Right. Yep.
Well, yeah.
Well, but that's the logic.
You haven't seen what my father sends me, so. Sorry, Dad.
He's not listening right now, probably, anyway, right?
Oh, he tracks me.
We'll make sure that we send him the MP3 file.
There you go.
Yeah, everybody's got an uncle like that. Okay, all right. So, they always blame the uncles.
Yeah, I know. I'm an uncle, like, multiple times, so. I get blamed a lot.
Well, we don't talk about my aunt. The crazy one.
Okay. So I guess that's the question, though, then, is so what is it going to take to get whether it's the companies on board or the people understanding that they need to do something different? Like, what is it going to take?
Yeah, because there is reasonably good security out there. I mean, you know, you can do a pretty good job of protecting yourself if only you will take the time and effort, right?
Well, sure. Yeah. What it takes is a serious event that gets everybody's attention and says, oops. You know, even hospitals were not spending the money that they should on things as simple as ransomware. Well, guess what? Five hospitals essentially all but got shut down as a result of ransomware. That made the front page of the paper. Mm-hmm. And guess what? The pocketbooks have opened. So it's just going to take that experience. It's going to have to take that evolution. And we'll get there. I don't know if that's 2 years or 20 years, but... You know,
because these
just
public companies, when they get hacked, then you get into the Sarbanes-Oxley stuff. I mean, are you doing your fiduciary responsibility kind of stuff?
Right.
And people could technically go to jail over that. I doubt we're going to ever put one of those people in jail, but that sure would be nice.
There have been two prosecuted under Sarbanes-Oxley, last I counted. So.
And was it cybersecurity issues?
I don't remember. One was like an orange or apple supplier in some situation.
And that's the word, you know, that's almost, you know, the good touch, bad touch about it is, okay, yeah, there's stuff's out there, but then you look at Target. You know, huge news when Target gets breached. Target sales were up like 3% in the 12 months following that. So did it really hurt Target at all?
Oh, yeah, because they were supposed to be up 12. So, yeah, it did
hurt them.
Plus, they
paid out $10 million or some large sum of money to the people that got hacked, too, right?
Yeah, and then the credit union sued them for lost funds. So, you know, a lot of that's still fallout. I think the important thing to get back to your question is, you know, you've got a huge, I mean, the entire ballroom was full of state and government people, some of the luminaries as far as information technology and corporations. You've got a lot of people here thinking about it and resolving those issues. And that's why we all come here. And, you know, it's events like this with you guys hosting and having some people on, just creating that awareness. So,
yeah, I mean, I can remember the first year they had this thing. It was 150 people in a small room someplace. To for them to get 1,000 now.
I can't remember where that first one was. It was one of the universities or something. Eastern, I think it was, wasn't it?
Yeah, and it was in a basically small conference room, you know, and now it's in a big ballroom. There's you know, vendors here, and you know, a whole bunch of people with metal
idiots stock. With podcasts.
and it was a slick production.
And not so
I mean,
idiots.
they did not waste. Or they may have wasted money, but they spent a lot of money on all the audio, video, and all that stuff. You know.
Yep. So. Absolutely.
Well, you know, there's a lot of money to be lost and a lot of money to be made, and Michigan is recognized both in the corporate world and at the state and local government as being at the forefront of what's going on out there.
Right.
You know, Virginia's out there because they're close to D.C., and then you've got Washington State. So we're.
I even heard Florida mentioned as being. Florida, really?
Could be, but the three states I hear on a national scale that are recognized as the leaders in information security are Washington State, Virginia, and Michigan, and that's something to be proud of.
Because they get that little Microsoft company out there in Seattle, right?
So. Well, they're not exactly known for security, so I think it's something
sure.
else going on out
Patch
there.
Patch Tuesday, right? You know, so. All right, well, unfortunately, we are out of time in this segment. And we want to thank you for being on board with us, Kasten Thomas.
And thank you guys for coming out today. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, Kasten's a longtime security expert. So he's
lucky you didn't say old. You just said long time.
I no longer use that word.
Thanks for the expert, too, but I don't know that I qualify for that quite yet.
All right. But for right now, this is Matt Rouse.
And Mike Brennan.
And you're listening to the M-Squared TechCast at PodcastDetroit.com.
All right. Thank you.
Welcome to M Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Now, your hosts, Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan. to M Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Now, your hosts, Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan.
This is Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you're listening to the M Squared TechCast, the only radio program you're listening to right now.
Has there ever been truer words said, you know? So we're with Pierrette Templeton. I can do it.
Okay.
I did that, Foster. Pierrette Templeton with Merit Networks. And the sponsor of the Red Team, Blue Team's High School Cyber Challenge, right?
Yeah, so today at the Governor's Summit, we ran both the Governor High School Challenge. So 97 teams from schools throughout the state of Michigan participated in a first-round competition, which was done at the home schools virtually. And then Merit and the state brought the top 10 teams in, and they had a competition for first place, and Governor Snyder gave out the trophies. And we're really hoping to grow this program. This was the first annual, and we're expected to double it next year.
Yeah, we had Dave Behan on earlier, and he mentioned which teams won. So they got trophies next year, perhaps more.
Yeah, let's just confirm. Do you know who won? Which school?
I think we got that, but go ahead and give it a go ahead and
it was the third place that they were fuzzy on.
Yeah, it was Cadillac. Right?
I can find it.
Okay. Yeah,
as long as we know who won.
Yes.
But congratulations to Clinton High School. That's very cool. So.
Yeah. Is that one of your schools?
No,
does sports casting all over the place, you know. So I wasn't sure if you also did that one too.
No, never done a Clinton event.
All right. So what was the genesis of this? How did this get started?
The Governor's High School Cyber Challenge?
Yes.
That started as part of an initiative from the state of Michigan and from Governor Snyder. He's really interested in helping solve the cybersecurity talent drain. Any kind of job experts are predicting, as far as models can predict out, a drastic shortage in cybersecurity. And by drastic, I mean by 2020, we're talking 2 million jobs in Michigan are going to go unfilled. So as a part of response to that, to develop this talent in the cybersecurity ecosystem, he started this competition. Another way that the state Merit Network and our partner organizations are kind of working together to solve this problem is through the Regional Cybersecurity Education Collaboration. And we've just announced with Governor Snyder today the formation of this partnership. So right now our initial partners are Wayne State University, Central Michigan University, and Northern Michigan University. And we're hoping to grow this to many other public schools and universities in the state of Michigan.
I happen to be employed by Lawrence Tech, so I can talk to them.
Give me a call.
Yes, I will. Absolutely. I think our computer science folks in the College of Arts and Sciences would be glad to talk to you.
He has their ear.
Yes.
I can
get you a call back. Yes, great. So, yeah, but that is a huge issue. There is a workforce development issue here, right?
There is. And, you know, in Michigan, part of the problem is cybersecurity certifications, education, a lot of these are so new that one particular school may not have enough students to support a curriculum. Another huge hurdle that we have to overcome is the lack of qualified professionals to teach these courses. So the RCEC is going to create a online and virtual distance learning cybersecurity ecosystem. So, for example, a student in the UP could be taking a class from a school in the Thumb of Michigan, and that way we can really kind of start to hone students' interest and build this development in our state.
Maybe we should take a look at H-1Bs again, open that up. If we got all these job openings, there's got to be a lot of really good cyber talent around the world that would love to come to the United States.
Of course.
So we'll have to wait for the next whomever gets elected. We can't go into politics too much here. Well, we can, but we won't.
Yeah.
So
We'll see what you say. You piss off half the people listening.
Yes. You know, perhaps 43% of one group, you know. So, but we won't talk about them. So, what else is going on with Merritt then? And besides, you have this challenge for the high school kids. Got anything else going on in that particular area?
Well, the one final thing I want to mention about RCEC that's very important to me is that not only are we aiming to bring in, you know, college students or students right out of high school to these programs, but we're also really working with some employers to help them develop the workforce they currently have, and we're going to be talking to some veterans organizations to also try to get veterans back into the workplace.
Yeah, you'd think all that military training and whatnot, there's got to be a lot of veterans with that sort of, that could go right into that and fill those jobs, right? Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
And you got the GI Bill on top of it, right?
So they should have some money for continuing education.
Right. Yeah. Sounds good.
So you can learn more about that at merritt.edu/cybered. And the other really cool thing we have going on, November 7th, Merritt is hosting a security summit, and we're going to host this at Washtenaw Community College. So there we'll be doing some computer demonstrations. We're going to learn from the Michigan Cyber Range how they take things from, you know, the kinetic space to the virtual world, which is really the first time they've done any kind of demonstration on how they build their worlds like Alphaville. We're going to be talking about Cyber Range hubs. Perhaps my favorite topic of the day, we're going to have a keynote speaker talking about voter hacking. So voting in cybersecurity, what can go wrong?
Because that'll be right the next day.
It will
November
be.
8th is when we vote.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it's very timely.
Yep. Yeah, we just talked about that. I was the guest host on the Internet Advisor over the weekend, and we had a long conversation about that. So.
About hacking the vote?
Yeah, it's mostly hacking the databases because the machines are offline.
Right.
And there's a gazillion of them. I mean, every county and city has a different system, and they're pretty much not connected to the Internet. But it's the security of the database. You could show up and say, I'm registered. And they go, no, you're not. Or even worse, you've already voted.
Yeah. Yep.
Like Chicago then,
they vote
right?
early, vote off.
Yeah, right. So we can't have that. So but they'll probably do that in Chicago anyway.
Well, that was one of the things, because I covered the election in Dearborn, where I live, for the Associated Press and Voter News Service before that, since 1988, I think. And they send me to the place in the DPW yard, the scenic Dearborn DPW, where the votes are actually tabulated. And it's this old-fashioned, clunky computer system that's not hooked up to anything. So I'm like, well, okay, you couldn't hack this, but what you could mess with is the voter registration in City Hall.
And now with these Ruskies nosing around, well, you know, they're not going to be hooking it up to the Internet anytime soon, are they?
No, and not to get political, but you assume heard the joke that they finally got proof that everyone will accept that Osama bin Laden is indeed dead because he's registered now in Chicago as a Democrat.
So,
yeah.
I got that on the Facebook, so.
Very good.
Okay.
All right, so what else is going on at Merritt you want to announce? Because we got a couple minutes left.
Yeah.
Well, the only other thing that's really of note is Merritt, we're really trying to work with our organizations to help them understand their security posture. So I'm sure all of us have heard of the DoD 800-171. So that's different ways in which you have to handle sensitive, unclassified information. One of the ways that we can do that is Jason Brown, our CISO, who you've met, he's kind of started a program called Merritt Community CISO. So what we'll do is we'll come in and we'll take a look and we'll run a breach probability report on your organization. So we can run it either on your organization.
Sort of like a penetration test kind of thing?
Yeah, to see where the vulnerabilities are in your network. Or another way that you can kind of utilize this concept is if you're vetting vendors, you can run breach probability reports on your vendors.
Oh, that's a really good idea, because that's usually where the issues come
from.
Exactly. Ask Target about that one.
Right? Yes. Right?
HVAC, we love it, right?
Yeah.
The air conditioner guy wound up into the entire...
I sure hope they had good insurance, system. Right? You know, so...
Absolutely.
Dang.
Yeah. So Merritt's still running the Cyber Range, right?
We are. Okay. We are.
That is like Alphaville is a very fun little place to play around. Mm-hmm. You know, try to be a good guy or a bad guy. It's sort of like the Westworld of the...
Westworld, yes.
Yeah.
Love that show. It came back, right?
Yeah.
So
the Michigan Cyber Range is really a place for people to teach, test, and train. So you can teach your employees, test your cybersecurity skills, and train to actually grow the skills that you need. We offer more than 40 cybersecurity certifications, and some of those are at our facility. Some of them are live online. We're looking into in-demand classes. And the really one of the best differentiators about Merit is that many of our classes, if you take them, the certification test is included with the class. You don't have to go somewhere else. You don't have to pay more money. We've got a couple of Cyber Range hubs now, and we're looking also to expand those. And these are other cybersecurity ecosystems which offer these exercises and classes as well.
Cool.
Okay.
All right, and it's all at merit.edu.
It is.
Okay. I love the history of Merit Network. It's just the coolest thing. It's like the original internet in Michigan, pretty much. They were established in the early 70s to do the radical thing of connecting the mainframes at Michigan, Michigan State, and Wayne State. And they finally did it in, I think, 73, something like that.
Yeah.
Neat organization, Michigan's original internet.
Indeed. And then it morphed into internet, too. So, but we're morphing into the end of the day. Matt's all decked out here, ready to go. He's got his shorts on and his Edsel Ford Thunderbird shirt.
Yeah, I've got to go
with
public address announcing at a soccer game right now.
It's okay. Sunny.
And I'm still in my uniform.
Feels
so
more like August than October.
Yeah, I'm going to go home, smoke a cigar, have a drink, and relax. But for now, this is Mike Brennan.
And it's Matt Rausch, and you've been listening to the M-Squared TechCast at PodcastDetroit.com.
Welcome to M Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Now, your hosts, Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan.
This is a previously recorded episode.